Hello, my friends. Welcome back to another version of Flock and Gather. It is your own only 18-minute podcast. It's heard around the world. We've got, oh my God, over 1,000 downloads in the 3 months we've been on. So I'm feeling pretty good about it, and so is the association. You know I run Spa Industry Association. This is Alan Scher, and I've got a special guest from the north, the mid-north, right, Lisa, today, yeah. Whatever that is. So say hi to Lisa Summerlee. She ran and owned the Remedy Spa and Wellness Clinic, a medical spa. She now works at Halo Therapy. We're going to talk about all this stuff. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Looking out at the sunshine here in the Great White North, and everything is good.
I know. I saw that you guys escaped what's it called? I mean, I should know this as a Minnesota boy. The what was the down below zero? What do they call the weather that just passed through?
I'm not certain. I know we get a lot of lake effect, and we get You know, the cold fronts that can dip in, but because it's Michigan, I'm sure like Minnesota, it goes up and down. So It crazy, like 20 degrees one day and then 50 degrees the next day.
Well, you know, 10 days ago, it was like minus 40 in Minnesota, and they told me it's going to be close to 70 today.
Okay. That's crazy.
I know, but that's Life in the upper Midwest, right?
Just like wait 24 hours and things will change.
Wait, tell me, how did you end up being a medical spa owner?
So I came from a decade and a half of working in the respiratory field with Merck Pharmaceuticals. I was a respiratory specialty rep for them and spent a decade speaking with specialty doctors and respiratory. So when I decided to take a buyout and open my own spa and wellness center, I was immediately drawn to Halo Therapy. I saw something, maybe even something that you had sent out. On Halo Therapy, and was immediately drawn to it because I saw that it helped with respiratory, and coming from my background, I knew it was something that I could easily promote once I understood a little bit more. And it's been a great fit. It's been a great run so far.
Good. Well, we love our medical spas, and thank God they were open during the pandemic as essential places. And almost every medical spa owner or manager I talked to said they were busy right through the entire last year. Now we're at kind of opposites because you're in Michigan where you guys were absolutely hammered, shut down.
Yeah.
Arizona never really shut down at that level. You know, people wear masks and stuff when they go in a store, but aside from that, everything was open here. So you could go to restaurants, you could go to the medical spa, you could go get a massage. And
that's
people were, people were following or paying attention like they're supposed to, but I'm just glad that they could be busy and could stay open during the entire time.
Now,
You told me you can go to restaurants now, right? Did they open?
Now we can't. It's still only just bumped to 50% like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
It opened back up February at 25%. My husband's a restaurateur, so he struggled a little bit, as did many restaurants in Michigan, and many of them are not opening back up, and many of them are struggling, and it's just been an unfortunate, you know, last 15, 18 months.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting. Look, at our world's made up of small business, and small business was hurt way more than, I always ask the question, I love all these stores, but why can you go to Home Depot or Lowe's, but I couldn't go to the Ace Hardware down the street? I mean, it just didn't make any sense, right?
Well, and even like only some rows of Home Depot initially.
That was even weirder.
Yeah, what a mess. I guess it was a learning curve for everyone, but some handled it better than others, for sure.
You know, it's interesting you worked for Merck, because now with all the vaccines that are out, you know, there was a time I think people would look at Pfizer and Merck and J&J. I hate those companies. It's big pharma. They're doing this and that. Now people are clasping their hands and begging forgiveness and talking about how wonderful these large pharma companies are, because look what how amazingly fast they have produced the vaccine that seems to be working for most people. So God bless the big pharma companies.
I know. I
mean, right?
Exactly. I mean, it was, it's a love hate for sure.
Yeah. I meant to tell you, so you're up in Michigan. Our director of education for the Spy Industry Association is a gal named Patty Biro. And Patty is a Michigander who escaped to Texas years ago. And of course, everyone's jealous because she moved out to Fredericksburg. It's out in the hill country between Austin and San Antonio. And they get the most wine visitors in the country after Napa. They get like a million visitors a year.
Oh, it sounds like a cool place.
I know, well, anyone who's pouring wine. If there's a lot of vintners and they're making wine, I'm engaged. So let's go, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but she loves it down there. But she talks so fondly of Michigan. And I'm always engaged in the travel points and the places. But you grew up near, did you grow up there near East
Lansing?
No,
I'm a New Englander.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I was born in Boston, raised in New Hampshire.
Oh, son of a gun. Okay, yeah. Here's how small the world is. My daughter, who is a nurse working the COVID unit at CMC up in Manchester. But she, yes, she escaped Minneapolis and moved to Boston at 18 years old. And she went to UMass and got her biology degree.
Awesome.
And she loves the East Coast.
Oh, does she? Yeah, both my daughters are, one was just accepted to Babson,
yes,
which is the number one entrepreneurial school in the country.
Touché.
Yeah, so she's excited about that. She'll be playing basketball there. And then my older daughter started at Assumption University about an hour outside of Boston, and she's playing tennis there. And she's in her first year right now doing it remotely.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
And I love that Kathy and I used to, when Katie was in college, we would figure out how many times we could go there a year so we could eat our way through the North End where all the Italian rats. I never had a bad meal all the years and all.
Oh my gosh. It's so true.
I know. I think
it's so true.
They say there's like 160 restaurants there. We probably ate in 40 of them, but I can't ever say I had a bad meal.
That honestly, my daughter's a foodie, and every time I brought her there for college visits and to meet coaches and things, we would eat at different restaurants, and we say the same thing. We've never had a bad meal in New England. It's crazy.
God. Well, and she traveled. They would do, the girls' trips up to Maine for the weekend, and she would tell us about eating lobster, and it's like, stop it, you're killing me, right? And because the cost was so reasonable, you know, when you eat shore lunch, if you will, in a restaurant there. And so I'm really... I'm excited for that, to go back and visit her. We haven't been out in the last year, right? We just haven't traveled and kind of stayed put. And of course the association has been really busy because people needed a lot of help this last year.
So, you guys have done a great job.
Thank you. I appreciate it. In fact, my wife says in the 32 years that we've been in this industry, she thinks I worked harder this last year than I ever have. Is that a compliment or not? I'm not sure what she meant by that.
I think it's a compliment. And a lot of folks really just needed that extra support. They didn't know what their next move was. So it was nice to have a sort of a governing body and overseeing everything to provide some insight.
Yep.
So,
all right, listen, I want to talk to you about salt. I know you're in the salt business and it's really close to my heart. And I have to go back, but in my previous companies, we had what I'm going to call a 60s hippie who worked for us, right? I mean, he would start his day by meditating and doing mantra in his office with the door closed. That's how he started his day. But I love Patrick. And one of the things he got me to start doing was using a neti pot. And so for those of our listeners who don't know, you've seen it. It's kosher salt. You put it in a little pot and you turn it into one of your nostrils over the sink. And it's an old Ayurvedic or Sanskrit, really, custom for using salt to cleanse your nose. And so I did that for years and years and years and years. And I just did it as a matter of course, whether I was sick or not sick, but I loved it. So I've been doing salt a long time. I love going into salt caves or salt rooms. In fact, I probably told more than one person, but for me, going in for a salt treatment is probably the single best nap I ever have in my entire life. I'm one of those people, Lisa, I can fall asleep instantly.
Oh, lucky you.
And doing it, the minute you're in a salt room and you start feeling the inhalation of the salt and in your throat and in your, for some reason, it puts me out. I go out like a rock for those 45 minute sessions. So wait, tell me how you, okay, that's Alan's personal experiences, probably too much info, but tell me how you got hooked up in the salt business.
So as I said, I came from a background of respiratory. And when I saw, like I said, maybe even an email from your association about halotherapy, I did a little research and I thought, you know, there's so many gaps with pharmaceuticals, folks that just don't want to be on daily medicine, people that are on medicine, but still have breakthrough, you know, having terrible seasons triggered by, you know, ragweed or whatever. So I just understood the disease state and I understood the properties of salt. And so it made a lot of sense to me. This was back in 2014. So it was still relatively new. There wasn't a lot of salt exposure out here in Michigan. But I just still felt like understanding what it was, that it could really help a lot of people. And my first real client was sent to me by an allergist, and it was actually an allergist that I knew pretty well. So he was like, you know, what's this halotherapy? I did a lunch with him. He said, that sounds great. He had a really tough to treat 2-year-old who was covered in eczema, miserable, couldn't go take a bath. He just suffered because it was literally covering 90% of his body. The mom and dad, you know, lower income. So I let them come in for free and we just did sessions with them. And after like a few couple, 3 weeks, he started to clear up significantly. He was taking baths. He was happier. We called, you know, he would come in and look forward to those salt treatments in like the Superman booth. And his parents were, I mean, her, the mom had tears in her eyes. I had tears in my eyes when he lifted up his shirt and showed me his belly and it was all clear. And this was after like a few weeks of doing halotherapy once a week. So I was hooked and sold at that point to see that true empirical, you know, data firsthand. And I've had nothing but great experience with folks coming in for both respiratory and skin issues. So it's been a tremendous run.
What a good start. Let me catch our listeners up on a few things. So we know the use of salt is 3,000, 5,000 years old. This is not new.
Yep.
It is new as part of allopathic or modern medicine as well, where they're kind of awakening to the uses of salt. In fact, I think I saw, well, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, but I saw Amy McDonald at the Salt Therapy Show.
Yep.
And we talked about this. And when you listen, like when you listen to people tell stories about their kids, themselves, their animals, and the way, I don't need empirical data and double blind studies for me to know that it works. I know the world does.
Yes.
But once you've heard these stories, it's hard not to get sucked in and go, I got to give it a try because it just seems like it's worked so well for so many people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I want to talk about when you talk about people with daily medicine, I think the numbers are sometimes scary about how much daily medicine is taken by people in the world, certainly in the United States.
Yep.
We've almost become crippled relying on medicine. And this is not disingenuous. People need medicine. Yep. A lot of people need medicine to survive. This is the nature of the beast. But I love the way you so naturally say with the open-mindedness that you've got to try some other stuff because that's really what it is, right?
Yes. Correct. Absolutely. And I agree. I mean, pharmaceuticals have their place and for certain, you know, obviously a lot of people, they're life changing and, but with the side effects and the fact that there's still gaps, especially with asthma and certain respiratory disease and conditions, this was fantastic. I would tell people to come in before their bad season, pre-treat, come in as often as they can that during that whole season. And, you know, people with like sinusitis every year at the same time in January or that, you know, here in Michigan, that winter crud that just lingers on into the spring and they've got that chronic cough. This is where we've seen some really tremendous results for people. And they would come in and, you know, we used to say in the respiratory business, when you've seen one asthmatic, you've seen one asthmatic because everyone presents differently.
Yes.
So people say, well, how many treatments do I need? Well, it really is different for everybody. I mean, there's general guidelines, but I would tell folks, come in as often as you need to feel better and find what maintenance looks like for you. So we sort of tell them to front load and then back off weekly, monthly, until they kind of find what that maintenance looks like for them. And that seems to work really well.
So I'm one of those people. I developed allergies as an adult. I go figure, right? We moved to Arizona and I've got itching and scratching and things. And the allergist says, It's really common. People move to different areas when they're adults and you didn't grow up with the fauna and you have no natural immunities to it. And so I get, whether it's the Palo Verdes or something coming off the plants, I itch and scratch. So I go get shots. I get them every 3 weeks and they work like a miracle. Because there's nothing worse than itching and scratching.
Yeah.
That does not stop me from getting salt treatments and doing all the other things because I mentally don't expect to stay on shots my whole life.
Yes.
So I'm always fighting my way into the complementary parts of medicine that to me should just be part of modern medicine.
Oh, it sure should.
In fact, I don't even like the word, what did we used to call it? Not complementary, alternative. There's nothing alternative about going for salt treatments or getting massage or doing acupuncture. I mean, these things have been around forever, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. We've been talking this morning with Lisa Summerlee. She was a medical spa owner. She works at Halo Therapy. She is all about salt. I'll just call you the salt lady from now on if that works.
That's a good title for me.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think about, you know, when people go to a salt cave, et cetera, what do you think their first experience should be like? You know, I've had people say, wait, do I do this naked? And I laugh. I go, yeah, but not with other people, right? and they're sometimes not clear that they can stay clothed and lay in a chair. And a lot of it is about the inhalation, et cetera. So tell us some things you know about that first and second spa experience with salt.
Yeah, and that's really important. There's a couple of things, and having run my own facility for 5 years, it really provides and informs my opinion on this. One of the most important things is to make sure everyone is fully educated. So whoever you have running your facility, that front person, that first point of contact really needs to be educated on the basics of salt. And it's not a difficult disease state or mechanism of action. So that education piece is really a big one. Providing literature to that customer when they come through the door, that guest when they come through the door the first time, on their way out especially. But, you know, making the experience transformational from the moment they cross the threshold, you know, providing the, you know, the ambiance, the experience, the tea, everything to give them that really nice stress reducing experience before they even get into the salt. You know, we tell people just to breathe naturally and enjoy the experience and, you know, sort of give them some insight as to what they may experience, the transient side effects with running nose and maybe their skin tingles and itches a little bit, but providing the expectation that they're not going to get into the salt and all of a sudden, you know, they're going to be, you know, transformed in a matter of one session. Obviously, with any chronic condition, it requires sustained treatments.
We used to say it didn't start overnight. You don't fix it tomorrow, right?
That's exactly right. But just that expectation is really, you know, we've had people who've had bad migraines and or sinus headaches. They would use the salt. They would start feeling that breaking up and also the inflammation in that upper airway start to alleviate some of that inflammation. And they would feel better after one treatment.
Do you know, we're going to finish on this point because you talked about education. And I can tell you in the 32 years I've been in our channel, educate, educate, educate. The mantra is the same, whether it's you wanting to go to a spa, learn about salt, whether it's a therapist trying to learn their own trade. We're never done being educated, correct?
So true. Yeah. It really is so true.
Lisa, where do people find you? What's your website?
It's halotherapysolutions.com.
Okay, so people go there, connect to Lisa, learn about salt, go get treatments. Even as therapists, you should be getting treatments as well. So Lisa, we've gone from Cave Creek, Arizona to Okemos or East St. Lansing, Michigan. I think we've covered a good chunk of the country today, haven't we?
I think so.
Yep. It's always a pleasure. I love talking with you guys and we're going to look forward to doing it again. And I hope you just have a great rest of the week and warm weather comes to Michigan.
Thank you so much, Alan. It's been great.
Thanks, Lisa. And friends, remember, please be kind to one another.